I'm very grateful to God to be here among friends, met before many of us, and to discover some new friends. Seems like God has come to your neighborhood. And that's a great testimony that you have given unto us. I bring greetings to all of you from Union Baptist Association, where I've been working there for the last 19 years of my life, and that I find it a calling from God to be a part of Union Baptist Association, because I was looking for an opportunity to be where God was at work. Little did I know that through Union Baptist Association, I would discover that almost every day of my life. And today is without saying that I have discovered where God is at work here at First Philippine. So it's good to be here, and also to assist my dear friend, Pastor Ernest Degoy. I am excited about what God's doing for his life, the ministry that God has given him and his family. And our condolences to Mrs. Degoy and her sister. Pray for the family. My wife couldn't be with me today. I do apologize. We are having God is Honored at Home Resolution Day. There are 8 congregations of men coming together to do a resolution in front of our children and wives. And I was supposed to kind of take it easy today and let my family hear me say, I will. But I'm going to have to facilitate because the person that I had chosen to facilitate can't be with us. So immediately after service and our time with you today, headed back to meet with that session. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is a very significant day for the kingdom of our Christ and the Son. That First Philippine is focusing on missions and evangelism. And, oh God, how we pray that you will speak to us about what's on your heart for the nations, for our communities, and even for our neighborhoods. We are very ready to hear from you. We know that you want to speak, that you can speak, can experience God even here today. I ask this in Jesus' name. I should begin my talk with you a little bit about my testimony. I'm a first-generation believer. My mom and my pops, they didn't attend church at all. In fact, my dad owned 2 nightclubs and a couple of gambling shacks. And also, he managed a Negro baseball team in Houston. And my mom, she spent most of her time taking care of us. And because of dad being away and other things happening in their life and their marriage, she wound up drinking most of his alcohol. And they didn't get along very well. And so I found myself trying to find peace. I found myself trying to find peace in the wrong places. I found peace in cocaine, marijuana, whatever pill they had out there, I would take. I found it in alcohol. So womanizing and partying, and I was the dancer of the day. I made John Travolta look crazy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I found my peace in doing all that kind of stuff, but that was the wrong peace, because eventually it destroyed my life. But there was a lady in my community, in my neighborhood, that took all of the young kids to her church to sing in the choir. Of course, I joined that choir so I can sing with the girls anyway. But I wind up discovering that I had some kind of voice. And so I began to sing. And I found lots of peace in that. But it didn't bring me the peace that I wanted. Because I did find a lot of girls in that group too. And I found a lot of girls and boys that wanted to do the same things I was doing. So it really didn't matter. But I remember this lady wanting to see her neighborhood become filled with the presence of God so she will invite all the children to her home. I happened to be one of those kids. When I went to her home, I discovered some peace that I never felt. You see, at my house, there was always doot, 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 and all kinds of expletives. And there was no peace. I thought that was normal. I thought every family did that. Because all of my dad's brothers did it, and all of my cousins and their fathers did it. So I thought it was rather normal to go doot, 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 and the expletives. When I went to Mrs. Carruthers' home, I discovered something that I want to talk to you about. I discovered a presence in her home that I said that I want that. She was sitting at the table, and she had brought sandwiches out for everybody to eat, and my best friend Donald and his sister Dorothy, they were sitting there, and Mr. Carruthers came home for lunch. He only worked maybe about 2 or 3 blocks away from where they lived. And he came home to eat lunch with his family. And he sat down at the table, and I was waiting for them to say, it's time to eat, nice-looking sandwiches. And it took them a while to eat because he said, let us bow our head. And he bowed his head. And I kept one eye open. I wanted to see, what is he up to? Remember, I'm a first-generation Christian. I've seen that before, except at funerals, you know. Grandma, grandpa, stuff. So I kept the eye open. Let us bow our heads. All I want to do is eat. And he said these words, dear Heavenly. The first thing came to my mind is, where is his pops? Looking for his dad. He said, Father. I've never heard that word before. He has a father old as he is. Where is his dad going to come from? And then he went on and he says, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Son. You only have Donald and Dorothy. Who is this son? We ask that you would bless this food. We thank you for providing it for us today. And he went on for about 2 hours. It felt like 2 hours. Because I just wanted to eat. And he went on and on and on. Donald and Dorothy got quiet. That's the quietest I've ever seen. Those two kids. And Mrs. Carruthers, she was going, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. African Americans. You know, thank you, Jesus. They stretch out and run around the kitchen and stuff. I'm going, my goodness, I just want to eat. Then after he finished, he said, amen, now let us eat. Ricky, you eat first. I didn't have a problem with that. I would have ate everything. But my greatest remembrance of that day gave me hope. The future. You see, I was only 12 years old then, maybe 13. Yeah, about 13. But I came to faith in Christ at the age of 27. And I was married, and I didn't do the doo doo doo, but I did the extra doo doo doo. Great. My wife and I were fine. Problem and didn't know it. But then I remembered something when we were about to have our first child. I said, okay, things are about to change here. No longer can I be John Travolta. No longer expertism to provide a kid coming. Okay, what do I do? Oh, age 13 in my neighborhood. That was a presence that I saw, and I said, I want that. I didn't want the do-do-do. I really wanted that. So my wife said, let's go to church. So we went to church. And in fact, she said, since we're going to have a baby, let's go to church. And I said, that's a good idea. I can put on my Saturday Night Live suit, and let's go to church. So we went to church. We sat on the back row with cognac on my breath from the night before for a year and a half. Then he gave an invitation. He says, won't you come down here and get some peace? So I walked and I said, I want that. What do I got to do? Get baptized. I said, get baptized. I got baptized at Miss Carruthers' church. I got baptized at the Methodist church where the other girl used to attend. I got baptized at the Elder Baptist church. Now I went back to the Church of Christ. Now I got to get baptized again. So I fussed and my wife said, stop fussing. Just get baptized. So I got baptized. The next following Sunday, cognac on my breath, sitting in the back row, nothing changed. Even though I was going to church, there was no peace at home, especially when the Houston Oilers was losing. That's the old football team. Then one day, really needed peace. I was losing everything. So behind an old green telephone company, fell on my knees. I said, I need peace. Give it to me, please. I was about to lose my kids. I was about to lose my future at Bell Telephone. But most of that didn't really matter at the moment. Feeling like I was going to lose peace. And that day, peace arrived. And I never will forget. It was the first time I felt the same peace that I felt at the age of 13. Sitting at a table eating a sandwich. Because there was a lady who decided, Emmanuel, bring the presence of Christ to her community. It lasted for over 14 years. I finally decided. Today, I want to challenge you, though, for that peace or to be the one who brings it. I like that. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Matthew 28:16-20 is a very unique passage of scripture that I think Miss Carruthers would say, bless her heart, she's home with the Lord now, but I believe she would say, you need to listen to Ricky. So we can just open our Bibles there just for a moment, and I won't be long. In verse 16 of Matthew 28, it says that the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. It's almost like today. We've been instructed to gather here at this mountain, and some of you worshipped, and some of you even doubted. Amazing that these 11 disciples who had been with him, that there will even be one of them among them after the resurrection and all of this. Some of them still doubted. It's amazing, isn't it? That you can be in church all your life, you know what God can do, but you still doubt. But they all came to worship him. You would think Jesus would be concerned about that. Why are you doubting me? Bow down, you beggar. God. No. But what comes out of his mouth next really lets you know what's on his heart. You see, I got this feeling that we think this is on his heart. The worship of his people. That's a part of what's on his heart. And in fact, that day will come when we will all join the angelic beings together. Worship him 24/7. You would think that he would be concerned about that by saying, some of you are doubting me, some of you are not worshiping me. And those of you worshiping me, I love you. Thank you so much. What he's about to say next, let us know prioritizing his concerns and what's on his heart. 24/7. Because you see, he has gazillions of angels in worshiping him, and his sanctuary looks much better than this. Nice looking, but he doesn't even need a 51-inch TV screen to watch Lakewood. His TV screen is big. So he's not impressed with any of this. As much as we sing and worship him, beautiful. But do you know the angelic host would make us look silly when it comes down to singing? They only sing one word, holy, 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 24/7, and it's beautiful. So what comes out of his mouth next really helps us to understand what's really important. Doubting him, is that important? Yes, it is, but it isn't at this moment. Worshiping him, is that important? Yes, it is. Sunday morning, we should come together to this mountaintop and worship him, yes. But what's at the heartbeat of God? What's on his heart 24/7? Jesus came. Spoke to him. He said, all authority in heaven and earth is given. Pause just for a moment. If he was to walk through this door today while you were lifting up hands and praise dancing and singing, pipes blaring, bands going, robes, pulpit, a choir, dressed nice-looking hats, beautiful pan-leather shoes, PA systems par excellence, TV cameras pointing everywhere, looking for happy worshipers. And he walks through, what do you think he will say? On this mountaintop. I think he would say, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in this place, in your neighborhood. I think he would say that to us today. If you ever want to know what's on God's heart, listen to what he says next. He says, instead of staying, I want you to go. I'm going to do a quick benediction right now. Boom, boom, boom. I think he would end the services right now. He would say, no more, enough. You spend more money on setting up worship for me. You put more money into buildings to worship for me. I think he would say that. You have your concerts. And your children, you have your pizza parties. All authority is given unto me. Now go. I think he would say it maybe a little bit lighter voice than that. But that's the force of it. He would say, you have made it all about me. Wow. I want you to go and make it about your neighborhood. I think that's what he was saying here. We use this to mobilize the church to do missions and evangelism. Jesus used it to get us to feel his heart. What is on his heart 24/7? I think he would be rebuking us because we are more engaged on this than that. We spend more money on this than that. We spend more time on this than that. So he walks into the midst of them while they are worshiping him, and everybody's waiting to hear, anticipating that Jesus is going to say, blessings to you. May God strengthen your family. May he bless your children. May he bless you financially. May he give you a new Lexus tomorrow. Maybe a new house in Richmond, Texas. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe a 3-car garage house next door. Wealthiest man, Texas. Wouldn't that be nice? But he comes into the worship setting, and he stands there where half of the audience is doubting. The other half is going, ba 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 do 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 ching dee 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 dee. While they're all just excited about his presence, some who are and some who aren't, he steps in and he says, hey guys, stop standing here. Isn't that ironic that that's what this text is saying? That he would walk through the doors of churches all over the world and we will be worshiping him and he would come in and say, but I got this one thing against you. You're not going. There's a very important reason why he wants us. Very important reason. And I think it's really at the core of all of our hearts. Is so that he can tabernacle among us. So that, lo, I will be with you. Let me say this to you. My subject matter today was pursuing the presence of Christ in missions and evangelism. I think the reason why most of us are not going is because we've made it about them. Those bad people out there. Those people who are far from God. We've made it about them. True. He wants us to get away from this and go do that. He wants every believer to be a missionary in their neighborhood, in their city. Every believer is a missionary, a person who is going. And then he says this, when you go, I want you to know something. It's very important because all of us really want this. I'm going to lo with you. Presence. The whole theme of discipleship and missions is around his presence. From Genesis to Revelation, he wants a family. He wants to be present. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. He just wants to be present with us. He wants to tabernacle. He wants to walk with us. He wants to go to school with us. He wants to go to Enron and to Exxon. He wants to go to government places, not just on this mountain. And he left them there. He could have took them with him when he ascended, but he left the 11 there and said to them, now go. I'm thinking that they are thinking, no, we want you to come back. He's saying, I can't come back until you go. I'll lo with you while you're doing it. Someone has asked me, you know, how can we maintain the presence of Christ in Houston? Does the church have to come together in unity? Does the church have to have a great revival of repentance? And I say, yes, all that's true. It attracts the presence of God. But if you really want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth, you got to go. The Son of Man shall not return back until this gospel is preached unto every ethnos. Want him to come back? I gotta mobilize every church in Houston to go. I gotta preach it every Sunday to the congregation that I pastor. We gotta go. And like every pastor I talk to, they said, no, they want him to low, but they don't want to go. I said, pastor, he won't low until every tongue has the gospel. Because he said, I'll come back. While you're going, I'll do something among you. It's called lowing. As we go, we are pursuing his presence. We are particularly interested in that and that alone. For this is the theme of Christianity. This is the theme of my life. This is the theme of why I do what I do. I want him to low with us. Not just on Sunday morning on the mountain, but when I go to U of H, the motto, by the way, preached and taken to my neighborhood. He wants to take it to City Hall. He wants to take it to your neighborhood. Take what? His presence. So the little boys like Ricky can experience his peace. Let me invite you. Let me encourage you to join the 11. Like the other 500 did when he ascended. Like the Apostle Paul did. And Timothy and Silas. And Ricky. You see, I know that my entire family, including my alcoholic mother, gambling, womanizing, club owner, baseball manager, the Lord today. Because this first generation son, brother, went to my neighborhood and begin to make disciples. And by the grace of God, my dad became a believer. And he would get in his little scooter after he and mom were divorced. And he would get in his little scooter because he was sick. And he would ride through the streets of Little York and that crosses 59. And he called me up the day he got saved. And he says, "Ricky, I gave my life to Christ this morning. I want you to know something, though. I'm not going to go to your church." I said, "That's okay, Pop." He says, "God is not only black, is he?" I said, "No, he's not." He says, "Good." That's the first thing he learned about God, that he wasn't black. That's good. He says, "I'm going to go to that little white church down the street." I said, "That's good, Dad, that's good." So he got in his scooter and he went down to that little church and he gave his life to the Lord. He walked the aisle with his little scooter. And every Sunday he would put on his cart some collard greens and smothered chicken and some cornbread, you know, the black people stuff. He took it on mission with God to the white church to feed everybody. The guy that owned the cafe. You know that lady that used to drink? She came to stay with me the last 4 years of her life. During one of those days, she came to the church that I was pastoring. And there was my son, my younger daughter. They were like 6 and 4. All of a sudden, they got up from their mother and walked the aisle. My mother came down. And every morning, our church used to have prayer time. Every morning for 18 months, 5 days a week, 6 o'clock in the morning. Everybody would dress their kids to go to school. We would go to the church. And she would be the first one up in my house. "Okay, everybody, it's time to pray." "Yeah, that's it, sister. You just keep on saying amen." Because that was a good thing for Annie Mae to tell everybody to get up and go pray at 6 in the morning, 5 days a week. Great revival for the entire country. And little one. Oh, my two brothers? Oh, my sister? Deacons and ministry leaders of local churches. First, when he saved me, I said to him, "Hear my Lord, send thee." All of America, all the nations, urban and inner city and suburban, you name it, need to hear peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Like he told his story and I told mine, you tell yours. Tell everybody how you got the peace. You're doing it. You need to know something. With you. So as you pursue his presence, do missions and evangelism. Teach people for Christ. Who are him. His kingdom come. Done. As it is in heaven. Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, we thank you. Wonderful privilege of being in your family. There are many, many who are here probably who want the peace that surpasses all understanding. They've had deep levels of pain. Maybe like I had in mind. But along the way, you drew me to yourself. Now the entire Bradshaw family, including my grandchildren, now know you as Lord. I pray today that you would bring forth a harvest beginning here at First Philip. That your Spirit will pour out upon us, where husbands and wives would walk the aisle together and saying, "Here, my Lord, give me your peace." Where singles, young and old, widows included, and widowers would walk the aisle and say, like Ricky did behind an old green telephone truck, "I do today. I surrender my life. Here am I, Lord. Send me." Now, those who are here today, Father, who have been worshiping you, some doubting and some lifting up hands, some ministry within the local church, but they have not surrendered to the conversation of heaven. Who's going to go for us? Who's going to go for us? Today, let them hear it, God. Let every man, woman, boy, and girl, young and old, make their way to this altar saying, "Lord, I am here. Send me." Emmanuel, be with us. In Jesus' name.